Hey everyone, welcome to this week's Padre Cast, which comes off I think a lighter week in terms of news, and there hasn't been as much going on. We kind of hit the wave the last couple weeks, and it died down a bit. There's still a good deal to talk about though, and a lot kind of to look forward to within the next month. Fred, how are you doing today, man?
Doing pretty well. Waiting for the Survivor finale to start, so yeah, we're looking
Yeah,
forward to
but.
that. So,
Yeah, by the time people are listening to this, it'll be over, which is why, I would have loved to talk about Survivor, but be dated by that point. But yeah, great season of Survivor. I'm loving it. Rooting for Russell and Parvati, so hopefully, in the morning, this will go up and one of those two will have won. You going for the same,
yeah,
Russell?
I'm pretty much going for the same, Russell or Parvati. I think those two play the game the best, and I think they deserve to win. I don't want to see Jerry or Sandra or even Colby. That guy's been useless this
Oh,
season. So, yeah, I
Colby has
think
been.
yeah,
Oh
they
man, he can't do
disappoint me.
anything.
Yeah. So.
Jerry, yeah, kind of worthless too, and Sandra, I just can't stand her.
Yeah, I hate her.
So we'll see. But yeah, so let's talk. The first thing in the absence of big news for the week, we kind of came out of a conference call from EA where they mentioned some of the games, at least I think it'll be some of, and not the entire slate. Some of the games that'll be on hand at E3, and the big ones, of course, we're used to Madden and NCAA football. They release shortly after E3. NCAA is just a month apart from when E3 is held, and then Madden's just one more month after that. So those two games are always on the floor, and they're relatively close to being final builds, especially NCAA football. We also know that Tiger Woods 11 is going to be there. The interesting thing about that is the game is out early June before E3, and so I think oftentimes they'll still put the game out even if the game's just come out, just because the people playing it who didn't buy it. But there's also the potential here for PlayStation Move, which we know is going to be implemented in Tiger 11 for when Move comes out, whether that's September or November. There's kind of differing rumors on that. And then there's also Project Natal for the 360, which we don't know necessarily what we're going to see from that at E3, and we don't know if that can actually be added in to Tiger Woods, but there's always the possibility for that. NHL 11 and NBA Live 11, two interesting ones to be there just because their release dates are so far out. NHL being September, first or second week of September, and NBA Live being the first week of October. Also, FIFA 11, which comes in mid-October. So those games, they're farther out. They're not near their final builds, and what that may mean is that we get the games there, we get announcements about them, maybe some individual previews, but probably behind the scenes and not out on the floor. The other games, two that weren't mentioned that I actually think will be there and will be on the floor, EA Sports MMA and NBA Jam. And I think looking at NBA Jam, a Wii game, it has that kind of head-to-head experience that sells everybody on the Wii. And the motion controls, which aren't overdone in this game at least, but that's ideal for the show floor for somebody to pick up for 5 minutes and play somebody random or a friend of theirs. EA Sports MMA, on the other hand, still ways out. That's probably a late October or November release, but they're going to be making a big push because UFC will be out of the way. You have EA Sports MMA. Trying, EA's got to find a way to get this into the public minds, and so they have to do that early and often. They've done a pretty good job of that so far, but they're also turning this into an event with a Strikeforce event just down the street that Wednesday night during E3. So I think it's going to be a big kind of barrage of EA Sports MMA stuff that week, and hopefully it'll be on the floor because I think they're kind of at a point where they could probably demo that for people. So Fred, what do you think coming out of E3, which game are you most interested in hearing about?
I think Madden, that's usually always been the game for me that interests me the most because football is my favorite sport. I think that and NCAA football and the MMA game. Big fan of MMA. Not just UFC, I watch it all. I watched the Strikeforce event last night, actually. So, you know, I saw the EA Sports MMA logo plaster all over the octagon and all that stuff. So I think those three, and then the Natal, I really want to see how that ends up, you know, being and how it's implemented in some of this stuff. So, you know, I know that we're going to get plenty of Madden info. You know, everyone wants to hear about that, and the pretty much the websites that I visit, you know, you get exclusive stuff like that. So those, and then, you know, I really, NHL, NBA Live, I don't really into those games. It seems like my gaming's been scarce a lot this year. You know, it seemed like this past year didn't do as much gaming as I normally do, so I kind of stuck to the same games. I didn't even get a basketball game this year. I think I got Live early and then just didn't end up playing it, man. I ended up wanting to get NBA 2K, but then just, like I said, didn't game too much. So
yeah.
Madden NCAA and the EA Sports MMA are the ones I'm really interested in. And I think you brought up a good point in that the time that EA Sports MMA is releasing, UFC is going to be out already, so you'll see how, you know, maybe they won't even really have to compete with that as far as launch goes. But I'm still curious to see how it's going to be compared to that game, you know, and how are people going to respond to it? Because I know that there's a lot of people out there that just don't like the UFC and will not buy the game because of that, you know, so.
Yeah. They, you know, the interesting thing about the EA Sports MMA versus UFC is, like you mentioned there briefly, I don't really think they're competing necessarily. If they're going to have release dates that are 6 months apart, I don't see that as competing, even though they're the same sport. Mm-hmm. They have different fighters. Obviously, UFC has the more recognizable fighters, a more recognizable brand. But EA Sports also, because they don't have UFC kind of constraining, it'd be like having a, you know, being able to make an NFL game without the NFL overlooking everything and approving or disapproving of certain things. EA can kind of take EA Sports MMA and make it what they want to make it. You know, if they want to put in female fighters, which I think would be a good idea and something to differentiate between the two games also, you know, they can do that. They can go with Strikeforce. They can go with different promotions. They can go with, you know, Japanese fighters. They can go with whoever they can get individually, and whatever brands they want to use, they can go for that. With UFC, they're restricted completely, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, because the UFC game turned out, I thought, great last year, and I think it's on its way to doing great again this year. But it does give EA that flexibility, and I don't think they're necessarily competing, but in terms of dollars, EA has to kind of get out there that, you know, this isn't a second-rate game just because it has a lot of people maybe that aren't so recognizable to people. I mean, I can look at that roster and, you know, I'm kind of a budding UFC and MMA fan. I'm no expert, and so I look at these lists of names, and I don't recognize half the guys, and maybe it just has to be, for me, a game that's more concentrated on creative fighters. But I mean, there are some pretty good names in EA Sports MMA. Mm-hmm. Is that a big factor for you, the names of the fighters, or do you think that's just kind of secondary?
For me, I'm not really in that position, because I do recognize pretty much all the fighters that are in the EA Sports MMA game, because I follow MMA closely. But I can see, you know, we could compare it kind of to football. You know, UFC is the NFL of football. I mean, of MMA. So if they have a game that comes out, you know, that's you see all those fighters. EA does UFC does a great job of promoting the UFC. You know, they have their stuff on Spike. They'll throw free stuff on there. There was actually one yesterday for free, which was like 2010's Greatest Fights.
Mm-hmm.
to sort of combat the Strikeforce event.
Yeah,
that was
they put
on.
It on the same. Yeah, at the same time.
Right, and then it's like, I think that they've done a good job by getting some of these guys like Brock Lesnar, who, you know, is pretty popular in the wrestling world, to try to get more fans. And so, you know, for me, it really doesn't matter. I'm all about the game, and EA Sports MMA has some pretty recognizable fighters in there. For me, it's all about gameplay. You know, I really did enjoy last year's UFC. I'm really enjoying the demo. You know, I think it's just going to build on that. But I'm kind of cautious about the EA Sports MMA game, mainly because I don't know what to expect. You know, is it going to be something like Fight Night? What is the fighting system going to be like, the grappling system? So To me, that's more of a concern for me is the gameplay more so than the fighters. To a casual or like a person who, like you said, a budding MMA fan who may not recognize that, they may stick with the UFC game until, you know, because that's important to them, having those real fighters. And something else that's cool, and I kind of just been doing this with the demo, is for me, I really enjoy if there's a fight going on in the real UFC, you know. Like yesterday, I was playing the demo, and I fought Shogun against Machida, 5 rounds, with Shogun being the champ, see what happens. Then, if I won with Shogun, I said, okay, I'm going to fight Rampage against Shogun, because that really, they announced, they kind of, Dana White kind of hinted that the winner of Rampage and Rashad Evans would face Shogun. So, to me, that's what I like doing about having the real fighters in there. It's like, I can kind of follow along with how it's going in real life. With the Strikeforce guys, they don't really, it doesn't seem like they really have that many events compared to the UFC, so, you know.
Or at least that are publicized.
Yeah, that you kind of have to just, you know, make up your own stuff, so.
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of look at the two games, and like I mentioned earlier, 6 months apart, but I wonder if, you know, to me, I look at them and I say, okay, UFC is the type of game that's going to appeal to pretty much anyone, and so I would almost call it, you know, very casual friendly, because it does have the recognizable fighters. You can go out there and knock anybody out with a lucky punch, which is, you know, still one of my favorite parts of the game. But then you look at EA Sports MMA, and, you know, we don't really know about the gameplay yet, but you have guys that, you know, more, you know, if you're a hardcore MMA fan, maybe you recognize, you know, you recognize these guys, and you take pride in knowing who these guys are, and you take pride in fighting with these guys because they're lesser knowns, or you have a history of watching them in different organizations and following their careers. And I think that's something that EA could tap in on. It's kind of with the very hardcore MMA sport fans. Who recognize these things about the game, these small touches that they could put in, the roster that maybe the casual fans generally don't notice or don't know about. And I think they've kind of done that already by bringing in fighters for, like, community-based chats. And they're giving one of the interesting things I found about this is that the UFC game is about the UFC. It's about the brand. It's about, you know, Dana White expanding UFC and spreading out farther, and it's more about, you know, it's more about UFC. EA Sports MMA is more about the individual fighters. So you have these guys who are really passionate about promoting themselves through this game, and so everybody who signs on to the game, this is a way for them to promote themselves, try to build their name in the MMA community. So I kind of think, you know, maybe they get more support in that regard from the fighters, and we'll see how that all turns out. Do you kind of see it similarly? Like one is more of a casual base, and maybe the other one could go for more of a hardcore focus.
Yeah, you know, I can see that, and I can agree with that a little bit. You know, at the same time, I think that the fact that it's EA Sports, and you get a lot of those guys who like Fight Night kind of going over to this game just because it's a, you know, something that EA Sports made, but I think you're that's probably the majority of the guys who like MMA and are going to follow that, and they're going to like that game as opposed to the UFC, which seems like it's a little bit more of a commercial game, you know. It's going to appeal to a wider audience, so I can agree with that. But I think also you're going to still get some of these guys who probably don't even really follow MMA too much, but the fact that EA Sports is making it, it's going to remind them of Fight Night. You know, Fight Night hasn't come out with a new game in a while, or they haven't come out with a new Fight Night in a while. I can see them getting some consumers that way as well.
Yeah, you know, switching over to another one of the games, you know, we're I don't think either of us are big Wii fans.
No.
And so I think we were probably, at least I was, I think you probably were too, disappointed at NBA Jam just coming out on the Wii at first.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember. Do you actually have a Wii?
I did, and I got rid of it just because I never played it.
Yeah, the last game I must have played on the Wii was like the sequel to Boom Blocks, and like I love Boom Blocks, but still, I mean, it's almost like I have to force myself to play a Wii game. I don't know. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I should really use that thing over there. But you know, it's disappointing. And you know, I've been hearing good things about NBA Jam and from people who have been playing it at different events, and You know, it's probably going to end up being fun. I have trouble, you know, and like I said, it's going to fit well at E3, and I think it's probably going to come out as one of the stars of E3, but I don't know if it's going to succeed financially, if it's going to sell copies. I don't know, you know, if they don't even put online play in, like they said, it isn't a certainty right now. That, you know, it's concerning to me, but it's a great head-to-head game. You know, I just, you know, do you think anybody jumps to the Wii to play NBA Jam, or you think it's like
No.
a game that that you someone might just pick up, you know, on a whim?
Yeah, I think it's if you have a Wii and you like that game, you know, it's something that you used to play. I think the chances of you picking it up are probably higher than me going out and buying a Wii just for that game.
And it's scary because we're the type of people who should want to get this, right? I
Right,
mean, we're
yeah.
the ones who played it growing up,
Right.
and we have that nostalgic feeling towards it, and it's still hard to get excited for it just because it's the
Well,
Wii.
and see, that's what didn't make sense to me at all about them only releasing it on the Wii. You know, the Wii seems like it's a system for family, you know, and younger kids. And I would think that if I'm building a game, I would think that a lot of the people who played NBA Jam are now our age, you know, late 20s, mid to late 20s, 30s, and they're not gaming on the Wii. You know, they're playing on PS3, Xbox 360, and I would try to release it for that, different from the Wii, you know. But I don't know, man. It's like I got the Wii. Or I kept saying my wife, like, "Hey, you want to play the Wii? You know, let's get the Wii." So I kept asking her, asking her, asking her. She got it for me for Christmas. We played it a couple times with that bowling, and and that was it, man. It was like nothing else after that. I would try to get her, "Hey, let's play the Wii." I don't want to play it right now, and the thing just sat there collecting dust. So. You know, it's not a game that's going to be like one of these system sellers or make me want to say, hey, go buy the Wii now because of it. I think the only game that I was really, really excited for on the Wii was that new Punch-Out. Because of that, you know, I grew up playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I really wanted to play it. And it was just one of these things, like, and I think it's been like that with all the games that I've played on the Wii. Oh, man, this is so much fun. It's entertaining. And then it's like, okay, after I'm done playing it that one time, it just never gets played again.
Do you think that's because, for you at least, do you think that's because it's not as online based of a system? Do you think it's because you don't buy into the motion control
Yeah.
aspect of it as much? What is it about the Wii, or is it just because there's no, you know, like for me, I think a big part of gaming now is community, and it's, you know, having Xbox Live friends lists, always connected, stuff like that. I think that's probably it for me. But I'm not a big fan of motion controls, which makes me wonder how am I going to take to like this PlayStation Move or Project Natal.
Yeah, that's the same thing for me. I'm more I like the way the Xbox is set up, man. That's to me, that's the system that I just feel more comfortable with. It's easy to navigate online. It feels like you're constantly connected online. You know who's online. You can do whatever. With this thing, it was just so weird. You had that long social security number as like your ID. You know, it was just like it. I didn't like it.
You feel
And
disconnected. That's the
yeah,
way I feel playing it.
and see, I knew that going in. To me, when I bought the Wii and I knew you could get online, I still had no intention of gaming online, playing people online. This was more of a offline system for me. It was just something to play with, you know, family who came over, my wife, whatever. And that I knew that probably when I got it, that's how it was going to be. And it just ended up just not getting any use. You know, it's the same thing for the PS3, man. Like, I have a PS3, and I rarely use it to game. I use it for more of a media hub than anything else. And I don't know if it's the same thing. Like, I'm just so used to navigating on the Xbox 360 using their menus and everything. But I don't know. It's just the same thing. When I try to send a message, it's not the same button that I'm used to on PS3. So I don't know, man. I think I'm just too old for this crap now. And it's like I'm set in my ways, and I'm just not going to stray from that too much, you know, unless it's something that's really going to wow me.
Yeah, and I totally get that. And you know, with the motion control aspect of it, you know, I don't really feel like expending a whole lot of energy when I play a game. Like I can't see. Okay, you roll. Maybe Tiger Woods. Maybe, you know, your swing is not too bad. You still have to stand up and everything, which to me that's a big deal. I mean, I got to stand up. But like, if you're gonna tell me that I need to, you know, play FIFA and be on my feet all the time and pretend I'm kicking and stuff for Project Natal, you can forget it. You know, maybe tennis.
Yeah.
maybe golf. You know, you're not going to get me playing a basketball game and pretending I'm jogging or something. It's just not going to happen. But NBA Jam, just back on that, I thought I'd mention this. I might as well sneak it in now. They had a, and it's still running for a couple of days, a catchphrase contest. You know, submit a catchphrase for the game, and the guy who originally voiced all the sound effects, all the lines in NBA Jam, he's back for this. So, I mean, they're doing a good job of keeping it connected to the past and similar, especially since that was a big part of it, hearing that voice. So you can submit a catchphrase, and then they're going to turn it into kind of a tournament, and the top four that make it to the, you know, to, the four that make it to the end will actually get in and be voiced by him, which I think is pretty cool. You got a couple days still to get those in if you want to. But yeah, you know, going back to couple of the other games, I think NCAA football, again, like I mentioned earlier, it's, you know, it's very close to being at release time for that by the time E3 rolls around. Last year, it's kind of, I looked at it like there was some subtle improvements, but it was a pretty strong indication that there wasn't a whole lot done with that game last year, and it turned out that that was the case, and I didn't play it all that much. Team Builder was awesome, but that was, you know, it's kind of a tacked on feature that's not a central point of the game, but it was not a good game to see at E3. It was not a you know, compared to this year, where you're going to get, you know, ESPN integration with the presentation, you're going to see that automatically. It's going to change the way you play. Locomotion's going to change the way you play. There's a lot of factors that are going to make it stand out this year. So I think NCAA is going to have a good showing. Madden is always popular at E3. I mean, it's always packed with people playing it. Everybody tends to like it. It's one of those, you know, I'd say with the last few years, the flaws with Madden generally have shown up, you know, after a few days of playing the game or after several hours. And so E3 is never really a great showcase for how the game's going to hold up. But, I mean, Madden last year was a good game, and it came across as a good game at E3. So hopefully it's it'll do the same. So we're, you know, a month out, and I've got everything booked and ready to go for that week. And I'm really excited about it. And, you know, we'll be doing a lot. So myself and Dylan will be down there covering the event. And so if you have things that you want us to look at, pull out of the games, take pictures of certain things, we can try to do that. And also other games, not just sports games. With Dylan there, we're going to try to cover a few other things. So be fun times, and feel free to shoot me messages on Twitter, and also make sure to follow on Facebook, where when I'm on the show floor, I'll be able to upload some pictures and even some quick video clips and stuff like that. Then I'll be able to update the website fully once I get in for the evening. But be a lot to follow there. I mean, this is a significant lineup for EA, especially with games like NHL and NBA Live and FIFA. Depends on how much we'll see of it, but EA Sports MMA debuting there, NBA Live debuting there, or not NBA Live, but NBA Jam debuting there. It's going to be a lot of good information coming out of that, and a lot of good hands-on impressions coming out of that. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is a bigger E3 than we've had the last several years, especially when you count in the new hardware, Natal and PlayStation Move. So, you know, I may have thoughts on those, and we'll see if I still feel the motion isn't a great fit, or if it works well for these games. We'll see. Moving on to an article I did, I think it was about a week and a half ago or something, and then we got overloaded with online pass discussion in the last podcast. But the game flow feature for Madden, which is the big feature for this year, and it's changing the way play calling is done. It's intended to speed up the games by having the game present you with a play call. But I think there was a lot of confusion with how that works online, and given I posted a tweet at one point kind of clarifying how that worked, and people started to question me on it because they didn't think it was communicated that way, how that actually works. And the way game flow is, okay, for ranked games, it's game flow will be on. There is no choosing whether you use it or not in ranked games. Game flow will be on. But that doesn't mean you're stuck taking the play that the computer gives you. You can hit I think it's the B button on the 360. You can hit the button after. This is the part that really isn't that appealing. You'd have to hit it after every play to get to the full playbook. And then you can pick the play that you want, if you want to do it that way, or you can just take the play that's offered to you. So even though game flow will be on, it doesn't necessarily mean you can't go into your full playbook. You can. You just have to hit the button before you go through and select a play. So there's that, and then there's also the option on-off for unranked games or for online franchise. You can either use it or not. If you have game flow off, it's just like normal play calling the last few years. But if you have it on, you will get to create your game plan, have the play selected for you. Again, though, you can skip past that and go into your full playbook. My biggest problem with this is there is going to be an imbalance involved here. If you decide, you know, I like game flow, I'm going to use it to select my plays, and then you go through and you're facing somebody who's hitting the button after every play and spending 20 seconds in the playbook to find a play. It defeats the whole purpose, at least in my estimation. It defeats the whole purpose because it's not speeding up the games, right?
Right.
So that's my problem with it. I thought it should just be either flat on, you build your game plan before you go online, and then use that. But that's not the way it's going to be. So we're going to see some imbalance involved. But I think overall the game flow, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the reaction to this. I think for online ranked games, it's going to be fine. I just wish, you know, like, I don't want to, if I'm going to use game flow, if this is going to be the new big feature this year, why, you know, I don't want to end up playing a 45-minute online game just because the guy across from me isn't using it.
Yeah, I know. You know, and the thing is, man, this has been EA's, you know, stuff since they started doing online play, is they always make something default ranked, and I always hate it, so I never play.
Yeah.
I never play a ranked game anyway. So, you know, if it's default for ranked, I don't see myself playing a ranked game anyway. So I don't really think this is gonna bother me. It's just more the principle that they always seem to say, okay, we're gonna put this, turn it on, instead of making it an option for ranked games, and then
yeah.
It just kind of, that's how I never play ranked games. So I think like last year I was like 0-2 or something ranked. And even though I did play more than two games online, it was just they're all unranked games.
I've always felt, you know, the way to solve this online ranked game thing is to, you know, people like you and me, I don't think we care about our actual ranking, but
no.
We'd like to have our stats and our record tracked over the course of the year. Make unranked games, you know, track your stats and track your record. Just don't factor it into the damn ratings, to the damn rankings. So, like, you know, for the people who, and I understand why, they have to set a default. They can't have you choose different things for each one. That's an Xbox, that's a Microsoft, and a Sony thing, where they require a standard set of settings for ranked, any type of ranked game. So you won't see, that's why we don't have the hardcore ranked versus the regular ranked, which they were able to do for 1 year. It has to be uniform. This is a requirement from Sony and Microsoft, so they can't go in and say, okay, you know, here's ranked games, now the two of you can decide what the parameters are. They have to keep it the same for balance reasons, but, you know, and that frustrates people like us who don't care about the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that's just kind of the game flow feature for online play. We'll see how it works out. Who knows, maybe it'll work out fine and people will actually enjoy it, or maybe people are going to end up being annoyed that they have to hit a button for every play. I don't know. Moving to the UFC, which we had a Fight Camps video come out this weekend, and I didn't really appreciate the video that much because it didn't really go into many specifics. Like, I wanted to know about the Fight Camps since we're kind of planning the PFC League. But, you know, it's their new feature for online, kind of a big feature for online, and that's bringing people together within a fight camp to actually train together. You can spar together online. That way you can actually learn to get better, but also you still have the competition aspect where you can fight against other camps, and they're giving away some huge money prize to the best camp down the line. But, you know, in the video you can see creative fighters. Why couldn't they just specify, you know, is it just creative fighters in the fight camps, or can you use, you know, established fighters in the fight camps also?
Mm-hmm.
But we have, so we did open up the PFC signups, and we plan to use the fight camps, assuming it works like we think it will, or assuming it works at all. We plan to utilize that in some sense. I mentioned in the original post, it might just be kind of like an elite squad. The people work their way up, and there's limited amount of slots. We don't even know how many slots a fight camp has. That's another frustrating thing. I would like to know. You know, is it 10 people? Is it 20? We don't know. So we'll find out soon. Another game coming out within the next couple weeks, and we're in a difficult spot with this because we're a couple weeks away, and we've seen maybe 2 minutes of actual gameplay from Backbreaker, and this is a game that is, you know, it's breaking itself out onto the market. Doesn't have the license. We all know about that. But, you know, kind of taking a different approach to a football game with the more the third person up close camera views and locking you into an individual on defense, and the camera shifting with you as you switch players. Also, it utilizes the right stick a lot more for primary functions, but it's kind of the on-field experience is what it's going for. The problem is that we're getting a lot of manufactured videos. These are videos that are designed to show you certain things that, you know, aren't going to show things wrong with the game because it's picked over. They spend a lot of time making sure that nothing funny is happening in these videos. We don't know how long, you know, if that was the first take or the 15th that clip came out of. So it's really difficult to judge this game because we don't have a demo yet. Based on the timing of when they submitted the demo, we may not get one before release. And, we aren't seeing the gameplay, the actual gameplay. We still don't know some fundamental things about the actual game, about the rules and such. So we got this, and this is what happens when a marketing department doesn't give you these things, is that people scramble to find them themselves. And so we found this this forum video that was just posted. I think it was from some Italian outlet, and it contained gameplay in a sense that we hadn't even seen before. Things like field goals and punts and split screen, because the game is only split screen if you play it against someone not online, but, you know, offline. So this video comes out, and, you know, we don't know what build it's from, but this is the problem you create when you don't release gameplay, is this is all we have to go off of. And I tweeted that it made the game look bad, and it definitely made the game look bad. And I took heat for that one statement after months and years of remaining open in this game. But we're at a point where they have to prove it now. They have to show it. It can't just be talked about anymore. They have to show it. And this was a really sloppy-looking video in terms of gameplay, and it's scary. We're at 2 weeks out, and we don't know really what we're getting. And hopefully the demo's out before then, because that's going to establish it, but we need to see gameplay. And, what were your thoughts coming out of watching that short video that came out?
Yeah, I think I lost interest in this game long ago, before this video even came out. I was kind of open to it, but I think the more I watch and the more I read about it, it's just like, I don't see myself playing it. It's like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, you know, my gaming has been cut down tremendously, and it's like, I'm just going to stick to the games that I know, you know?
Yeah, this I've been following this game since the start, years ago. I spent, I don't remember how long, it might have been like an hour and a half with a couple of the devs at E3 last year, sitting down with this game. And wrote up an extensive preview on it, and have followed it ever since. So I've kind of been judging it along the way based on what I know, based on what I'm hearing, based on what they're providing us. And I've always kind of wanted to keep expectations at a realistic level, because there are some out there who want this to be, you know, the game that takes down Madden or some kind of savior, and it's not going to be that, especially in the first year from a company that's never done this before, that has a very small team. So I keep saying that, you know, there's a potential for this game to be fun, and, you know, there's also the potential that it won't be fun. But what is important is the fun going to compensate for the problems with the game, which there will be many, which we've seen some of, and we're likely to find out more the more we see with the game. This is not an extensive football game. It won't have fatigue. It won't have hot routes. It won't have injuries. It won't have sliders. It won't have online leagues. We know all these things only because they finally admitted to them. We don't know what else it's lacking. We don't know what the problems are going to be with it. But, I mean, if the demo comes out, it's going to be it's going to be interesting because it's going to be a proper way to evaluate the game. And this is, I've talked about this before, UFC last year, a lot of people were tentative about the UFC game, didn't know what to expect, thought it might be too mechanical. It was coming from THQ, who, you know, has taken a lot of heat over the years for the WWE franchise and not advancing that, and issues with that never getting fixed, and just a lot of stuff going against the UFC game last year. And then the demo came out and rocked everybody, and they realized this was a serious contender in the sports gaming arena, and they actually delivered a quality product in the first year. And so this is where Backbreaker is at. They have to prove it. People aren't just going to go out and buy it because it's a football game. We saw that, you know, and I almost hope that this game is either really good and surprises people, or it's just really bad. A mediocre game isn't going to do anybody any good at this point. We got a mediocre game with All-Pro Football, and that series died. So we need to know one way or the other if this is going to be able to become a franchise or not. And we'll be finding out within the next few weeks regardless, but hopefully they bring out some videos and counteract this last one. Otherwise, this is what we have to go off of, and there's no reason to think otherwise that it's going to be any better than what we're seeing in this video. And the couple other gameplay videos that were out from, I think, IGN a month or two ago, which were short, but people were far from impressed with. So, you know, we got a couple weeks to go on that still, and we'll see what happens with that. A lot of stuff in entertainment this week, TV related. Usually it seems like we slant towards movies, a lot more movie news, but this week with the television up fronts, the network up fronts, we're finding out renewals and cancellations and schedules for fall. And so it's just a couple of the prominent shows that were on the bubble. Got Flash Forward and Heroes canceled. 2-hour movie for Heroes is still possible to close up the series, but otherwise it's done. We got Chuck V, Lie to Me, and Human Target all coming back. You and I have talked about Flash Forward in the past, and we've written a bit about it, and that was one, you know, its ratings have tanked for a long time. And you told me earlier that you had given up on that show, actually. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, a while ago, man. I did like it in the beginning, and then it was one of these things where I just fell behind and then lost interest in it, and then I started reading bad things, and then didn't it like go away for a while and then come back?
Yeah,
and
it was gone from like December to March.
Yeah, and so I just said, forget it. I'm not even going to watch the rest of that show, so.
Yeah, it's actually, I think, gotten a little bit better. There's still really irritating things about it to me, but its ratings, I mean, it's tanked. It lost its showrunners. It lost multiple showrunners. Goyer left. Then the person who replaced him left. It just never really had very strong direction. So I'm not too sad to see it go. I'll be interested to see how they end up this season. It was kind of funny. In one of the last episodes, they basically insinuated a date of 2016, possibly for the end of the world, and like, this show is never going to make it to the year 2016. You guys have a lot of balls suggesting that you might actually make it to finish out that storyline.
Yeah.
Because we're I think the next episode's finally the one where they're on the date the Flash Forward jump to.
Mm-hmm.
The which is, you know, technically April something 2010. Yeah, we'll see how the show finishes out, but at least we'll get to finish the first season. Heroes, yeah, that was, I loved Heroes the first season, then it went downhill. Don't care about it now. Ratings tanked again. There's another show that people just jumped off after a while, just like you did with Flash Forward. Real happy Chuck's coming back. That's one of my favorite shows. NBC really didn't have much choice because they had nothing else going. Practically every other show for NBC is a new show. V is coming back. V, as opposed to Flash Forward, they were kind of the two shows looked at to replace Lost. And V's ratings haven't exactly been stellar, but they've been better than Flash Forward. So V's coming back. And then Fox actually renewed both Lie to Me and Human Target. And most people thought one or the other would make it. And then a while back, Fox renewed Fringe, which is in the midst of its season finale right now. And the first part was awesome. So I'm very excited about Chuck anyways, and the other stuff kind of, you know, not huge news to me. I thought it was funny that after years of people not caring about Heroes, that the Heroes got canceled, news shot to the top of the Twitter trending list. Like it was some big deal. Everybody was talking about Heroes getting canceled. But another show we're actually getting a prequel on is Spartacus. And that's, we had the star of Spartacus, Andy Whitfield, got diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and that delayed the production of the second season. So in the meantime, they're developing a prequel, which is going to focus on a couple of the characters and the backstory to them. I loved, you know, we talked about Spartacus once or twice before, and I loved this show. And I'd said, I've told several people, and I've said it on here before, you get through the first two or three episodes, and it becomes the most entertaining show on television. And everybody I talk to who gets to that point and finishes up the season loves it. You started it, but you haven't gotten to that point yet, right?
No, I did start it, but like you said, I haven't gotten there yet. But I did like what I saw, and then I've been hearing nothing but good things from anyone who's actually watched it from beginning to end, the whole series. So it is on Starz Demand, so I'm definitely gonna check it out when I get started.
Yeah, it's on demand. Also, if you have a Netflix, account, you automatically get the Starz shows. So if you have Netflix, go ahead and check it out that way if you don't have Starz on your cable package. But yeah, very fun show, very over the top, very gratuitous, very graphic. But yeah, it's totally a lot of fun. We also had Samuel L. Jackson this week come out, and some people are questioning this because he didn't seem to have a terribly good grasp of what's actually going on with the other Marvel movies, but he talked about a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie coming after the Avengers. Now, S.H.I.E.L.D. is the organization that brings all these superheroes together in the Avengers. And you know, I was looking at a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie as possibly being a prequel to all this, see how the organization was built up. Samuel L. Jackson, we know, leads it, but then you also have Agent Coulson and Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow as members of S.H.I.E.L.D. that we know so far. So a movie with those characters I think would be pretty awesome. But then we also have, if they're not going to go the backwards direction, we're going to have characters that show up in Thor, Captain America, who, you know, this may beat out or not beat out Iron Man 3, but there's a lot of possibilities there. Did you actually go see Iron Man 2 or not?
No, I still haven't seen it yet. I'm planning on going this weekend at the IMAX to check it out. So.
Yeah, there's more. There's a lot of stuff that kind of feeds into the S.H.I.E.L.D. background and those new characters, and or at least the new character that Scarlett Johansson plays, and leading into the Avengers and everything. I think a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie would be pretty awesome. There's also talk about a whole bunch of superhero movies based on lesser characters with lesser budgets. So, you know, I know there are kind of plans for an Ant-Man movie, but then there's a lot of other characters they're looking at fleshing out with their own pictures here with maybe $50 million budgets as opposed to the $200 that was spent on Iron Man. A lot of good stuff coming from Marvel, though, and coming up at Comic-Con. I can't wait to see what we get out of that. I wanted to close off, because we were talking about this before the show. You watched this movie called Human Centipede, right?
Yeah, I did get the chance to check it out. It's an independent film, and you know, very low budget. You could tell acting was, you know. but what caught my eye was that, like, someone on the site actually posted the trailer for it in the entertainment section, and you know, I dig the Saw movies mainly because of the gore and, you know, just grossed out type stuff. So when I saw this trailer, I thought, oh man, this looks this looks good. You know, a crazed scientist does a surgery on three people that basically sews their mouth to the next person's anus and makes a human centipede. Now, the thing that caught my eye on this trailer was, like, at the very end, it says that everything in this movie is medically possible. You know, that it's actually happened. So I thought, oh man, this is, like, right up my alley. And so, you know, I'm thinking gross movie based on the trailer, the idea of the movie. You know, I saw it. Some parts were kind of gross, but it was very tame compared to what I thought it was going to be. They didn't really show too much of the surgery. You saw a couple things here and there, but, you know, nothing crazy. And so what I ended up was disappointed with the movie. Like, I thought this could have been a pretty gory movie, which would have kept me entertained because of just that, you know, how gross it was. But it really wasn't. And I mean, the idea, I thought the story was pretty decent, you know. But yeah, I was kind of disappointed in it, mainly because I was let down by what I was led to believe by the trailer and just the talk of the movie. But like I told you when we were talking about this in the beginning, was I did read an article from the director of that movie saying that they're coming out with a second version. That's why it's called, like, The Human Centipede Something 1. Like, I forgot what it's called. There's supposed to be Something 2, and that's going to be the sequel. And he was saying that this was going to make this movie, and I quote, look like My Little Pony, that this was going to be so gory, and this is going to be what the first one should have been. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, great. That, you know, I'll give the second one a shot if it's going to be that gory. But
yeah, I, from the start, it almost makes me nauseous to think about the concept of this movie. Like, I have not watched the trailer. I noticed a couple different sites I'd gone to that had ads up for it. And I saw people leaving comments about how, you know, it's their lunchtime and they don't want to see these ads. And it's like, it just kind of almost makes me nauseous to think about. And so I was in the thread in the forums and I mentioned that. And then I heard about the whole, you know, this is 100% medically possible or accurate. And I'm like, that just creeps me out even more.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is, too, like, from what the surgeon who, I guess they got, like, this world-renowned surgeon who actually kind of oversaw the whole medical part of it, was saying that, well, really the only way that the two behind the head of the centipede would survive is by getting fed intravenously with food, you know? That's really the only way that they could survive. But, I mean, the doctor in the movie, the crazed doctor, he explains it all, like how he's going to perform this surgery on these people and what exactly he's going to do and how they're all going to have the same digestive system, because one guy, the first guy is going to crap into the chick and then the chick's going to crap. it was interesting, man, but it was just like, it was just kind of weird too, because it was like in Germany or something, and so you had all these like real thick German accents, and it was kind of creepy, like more than anything else with that stuff. So
it's kind of the thing you would expect to happen there.
Yeah.
It's like at least years ago, anyways.
Yeah. But it's not bad though. If you get a chance, I wouldn't pay money to see this in theaters. But yeah, you know, from what I read, it's supposed to be on demand on the international or independent film channel on Comcast. So if it pops on there, you know, definitely okay, check it out. It might not be bad. You know, especially if,
for all audiences.
Yeah, yeah. Not something like my wife. I told her, I'm like, oh, I gotta check this movie out, and she's like looking at me like, why the hell do you even want to see that movie?
Yeah, and I'm like, it's hard. It's curiosity.
Yeah. So then she goes out, and like I'm watching it, and she comes back, and it's like towards the middle end movie where the surgery has already happened, and these three people are, you know, sewn together, and she's thinking, this is just the most bizarre movie. Why are you watching it? But you know, yeah, it's I like I said, I like the Saw movies because of all that gross stuff, and so I was kind of interested in this movie.
Yeah, it's definitely unique.
Yeah.
in a time where we get a lot of generic horror movies, or if you want to peg it that, but yeah, that's a you know, that's a real uplifting note to go out on today. But you know, I'll just plug a few things. Make sure if you're interested in the PFC, the UFC 2010 league, sign up in our forums. There's also the posting on the main site that gives you details on it. Fighters, myself and Dylan will start distributing the different fighters based on the signups and everything late this week or possibly over the weekend, but that should be done before the game actually hits shelves. Also, make sure to follow myself on Twitter at Pasta Padre or Facebook, links on the site for that as well, just because I'll be posting a lot of stuff on there, and also, you know, I constantly interact on there. It's the easiest way to send me a question or a suggestion. So, you know, after all that Human Centipede talk and the EA Sports lineup and everything, I thought it was a fun week. We'll see if things pick up otherwise this coming week, and a lot of good stuff to come. So thanks, Fred, for joining again, and appreciate everybody listening in. Until next week, take care.